Good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, January 17th, 2020. Give that corsage a little spritz and straighten out those pleats. It's time for some coastal windage. Let's do this. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's number one live call-in talk radio show. We're here every Friday morning from 9 to 10. I am one of the hosts, Ruben Truthmaker, and I'm here with the other host, Libby Streetwise.
Good morning.
Wise. And Mr. Mojo Filter.
Good morning.
Morning, Mojo. And this morning, joining us soon in the studio, our special live interview guest. We've got a Shooting the Breeze live interview segment, our first of 2020, and our first live interview segment interviewees to return. All right, we're going to have Jenny Urban and Lily Keaton of Say Yes to the Dress. This is an amazing program. Can't wait to talk to them about this again for the second year in a row. Okay, it's a really special program, and that's why we've got them on. All right, you're going to want to get in on this show. Trust me on this. So get your speed dial going right now. 560-9851 is the number to call. If you are not on the coast side, maybe you need to throw in the area code 650-560-9851 or send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. Now, this is a packed show, so we gotta step lively here, which is quite different than we usually do, our meandering babble.
Step Lively.
Step Lively, yeah.
Is that sounds like a fiddle tune.
It seems like a band name, yeah. Step Lively, Scottish Fiddlers. I don't even know what accent that was. That was like Cockney doing Scottish. Okay, and we've already got our first phone call of the day. This is going to be a hot day. It's going to be busy. Who we got on the phone this morning?
Hey, good morning to you guys. This is Jim Henderson. I just wanted to wish you well for a good program, but I also wanted to inform our listeners of a Planning Commission meeting that I went to last Tuesday night, in which the commission was asked to approve a parklet for a coffee shop on the 500 block of Main Street. They did indeed approve that.
Now, Jim, this is Ruben here. Jim, this is the parklet pilot project in which they're actually going to be putting tables on the asphalt in the street?
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. And even though the vast majority of people that had public comment were against it, the city staff obviously was in love with the idea, and they really minimized all of the arguments, and it did pass. So the next stop, I guess, would be the city council. But my main concern, and there are safety issues, but my main concern is the fact that government should not be in the business of making winners and losers in the business community. And City Hall does not own the sidewalk. City Hall does not own the streets. They belong to us, the public. And yet they're going to allow our assets to be used for financial gain for practically nothing in return, a licensing fee which is yet to be determined, probably just a little bit. So all I'm asking my listeners to do, our listeners, not my listeners, your listeners, our listeners, is to, if you feel that this is not maybe the way government should go, picking and choosing who they're going to favor and support versus other people in the community, that I would ask you to call City Hall and very politely register your comment with the person that answers the phone and ask them to please pass that along to the city council. So if you think that maybe we should not be giving away our streets and sidewalks to selected businesses so they can make more money, then maybe you should call and weigh in rather than let just government decide they know what is best for us. So that's what I wanted to share this morning. And otherwise, I hope you have a great show, guys.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
All right. That's a great update on the city's parklet pilot project. And we'll keep you updated when that goes to the city council. Thanks for the call, Jim. Appreciate that. Okay. So moving on. So we got a packed show. So we got to really, like I said, step lively and do your river dance as we step through this. But I just wanted to ask, have you guys seen that internet video with the cat fighting off the three coyotes?
Yes, I watched it over and over. I really did.
It's mesmerizing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's coyotes jumping up on a retaining wall, like getting. And this cat, it's not like the cat even looks scared. He's just kind of like sparring. You know, he steps out and gives a paw and steps back.
They were young coyotes, but still, that's pretty amazing.
And I think I didn't watch the entire video. My wife said that the owner came out, but my wife was saying, like, yeah, the cat looked strong, but it wasn't going to go on much longer. Because the coyote, you know, coyotes are smart, and they were trying to get behind
them.
Yeah,
there's three of
them.
They
were working together, but it's an amazing video. Yeah. Of, like, cat, what are you thinking, dude?
Well, it was do or die. I mean, it was backed up against its glass window, and she said, I'm not going to let it out anymore.
Yeah, right. So it's not going out anymore.
But that's the basic language of cats anyhow. I mean, if you have a cat, you know that they don't care. They're going for it. I mean,
there's some scary cats.
My cats look at me, and they're like, I could be just fine without you. I don't need you. And it's like they're doing us a favor being with us.
Well, I think...
is how they look. It's the look that they give me all the time.
Based on the posts on Nextdoor in El Granada, I think the community of El Granada needs to pool some money and hire this cat to come up and train the cats in El Granada, because at least once a week there's a missing cat posting in El Granada, and I'm attributing those to coyotes. So
you think?
We need some coyote training up here for our cats. So. All right.
Coyote training.
let's get into our topics here. So we've got an update on the pump track situation, and then, of course, we have Jenny and Lily for our Shooting the Breeze live interview segment to talk about Say Yes to the Dress. And if we have time at the end, which we may or may not, why electronic tickets. We may have even done this before, but it's kind of a important point for me. So why electronic tickets? Okay.
And also, just really quick, we don't have a 30-minute commercial update today because we had a system error, so we can just keep riffing.
System error. System
unfortunately,
error.
But
okay, well, great.
That's
we
can
do
way.
live commercials like they used to.
Right. Okay, hey, and this show is sponsored by, well, we thought a phone call. We may not have to do commercials because we're going to be doing phone calls all morning. This is Ruben Truthmaker with Livy and Mojo. Who's on the phone with us this morning?
Michelle Dragony.
Michelle Dragony. Coastside Butterfly. Is that Coastal Butterfly?
I'm the Coastal Butterfly,
Butterfly. And
hi, Michelle.
The operator of Coastside Buzz.
That's right.
All right, Michelle, what's up?
Well, we're keeping track of the pump track. Right?
Nice,
yes.
We had GCSD, and we were all in the room again, and GCSD was showing us some love. So it looks good. We're going to walk the track with Supervisor Horsley in a week or so, and then we have our meeting on the 29th when he comes back, and I think he'll probably approve both of them. What do you think?
So, Michelle, you are a member of the Granada Community Services District.
Parks and Rec. Pump track committee.
Right. So you're actually on the pump track like subcommittee of the Parks and Rec committee of GCSD. Let me ask you this, as a person on this committee, do you think this is going to happen? I mean, I've felt in the last couple meetings, I actually for the first time believe there's going to be an official pump track in El Granada. What's your feeling on that?
I think that the new parks and rec director Nick Calderon, he's new. And he's young, and he came out, you know, to the track itself and didn't demo it, and then came out to the meeting and listened to us. And I think as they look at it and they break it down into all problem, solution, I think they'll find that there's really not a good reason to demolish it. And it sets a good example for what can be done with almost no money. If we go through the big process of what the county requires for a pump track, you know, you're looking at $400,000. We can do the pump track at Quarry Park for $4,000. It's just moving a little bit of dirt around. A contractor actually said he went to pull a permit to see what permit he had to pull, and he said the amount of dirt that we would be moving around is so little he really didn't have a permit that there was available to pull.
You don't even need a grading permit to do it?
No, because he said for the amount of dirt that you're moving around, no, you have there's a certain amount that you have to move around before you have to get a permit. And so I think, and it's not in a wetland, it's not an environmentally special area. In fact, it's been used sort of as a midden for the fire people who are, you know, they're just going right through there and loading up and dragging things off. They were sending a bulldozer out to, you know, clear the track, so it's not an environmental issue. it's a well done track, and I think if you go look at it right now, and you can see the whole layout on Coastside Buzz.
Let me just tell listeners about that. So go to coastsidebuzz.com. Michelle has posted some visual illustrations of where the track, where a new track would go in Quarry Park and what it would look like. And if you are not familiar with the pump track, it's a great thing to go and check out because you can really see how it lays into a very small piece of a property and how elaborate and intricate they can be. And also the design that you posted on your website, Michelle, has what I really appreciate, which is really two pump tracks, a smaller introductory pump track for the youngsters, the really young kids, maybe on push bikes, and then a full-throated one that anybody five and up could use, including myself, and I'm looking forward to that because I need the work. well, Michelle, I really appreciate the call, and I really appreciate your work on the subcommittee and really having the community's interest in mind on all levels. Thank you so much, and really thanks for the call, too.
Thanks, Michelle.
Well, you're welcome. Good luck.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, two calls in 12 minutes.
That's pretty good.
We're going for a record today, so help us make that record, 560-9851. All right, air quality report. Everybody else gives you traffic and weather. I can barely keep myself awake for that when I'm listening to it on the radio, but pay attention because we're giving you the important stuff, the air quality report. We get this from airnow.gov. All right, let's remember the scale. 0 to 50 is good. 51 to 100 is moderate. Over 100, you need an oxygen tank. Okay, today it's 33 in Half Moon Bay. It was 23 last week. Today it's 29 in Redwood City. They nipped us again. It was 13 there last week. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. 33 today in Santa Cruz. It was 27 there last week. And as a new thing, I'm randomly sampling other communities in the Bay Area just to see.
Just because?
So, Milpitas. Attention, Milpitas. You're on the show today. 51 in Milpitas today. Not good. And as we said last week, it's probably about 10,000 in Australia right now. All right. Let's get on to our email. So we had, speaking of pump track, Michelle Dragony called in about pump track. We have many, many emails this past week about the pump track. Most were strongly in favor of it, strongly in favor in general of a track in El Granada.
I loved seeing the pictures from the meeting with all the kids.
Oh, yeah.
I loved seeing those images.
I mean, there was probably 10 kids under 5 years old sitting on the floor, essentially being quiet for 45 minutes to an hour while grown-ups are...
Seriously.
Yeah, that
it was
amazing.
Impressive.
That was the best part. Actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Really. It definitely gives you hope for the future on a variety of levels. All right. Oh, okay. Back to the email. So most of them are in favor. There's a couple of dissenting emails which generally are talking about process and permission.
Womp,
and common courtesy.
Goodness.
All right, we can't read them all, but here are a couple of fairly representative emails that we received during the week. This one's from listener Anna Paula regarding the pump track. Unfortunately, our family wasn't able to attend the meeting. I think she's referring to the MCC meeting last week. Unfortunately, our family wasn't able to attend the meeting, but we did send an email. We're basically telling our children they can't ride their bikes outside. Really? Liability? Seriously, it's a liability walking down the sidewalk in town.
No kidding.
What about the existing parks? Aren't they a liability? Thanks for letting me rant. Oh, well, heck yeah. That's what the show is for, Coastsiders, for you to have your voice and have it be heard. So, Anna Paula, rant away. Thank you for the email. And other Coastsiders, let's hear from you. Keep the emails coming. Give us a call, 560-9851. Regarding liability, Anna Paula, I'm with you on that. Liability and risk management are fundamental shapers of the world we live in, and not really for the better. I mean, fundamental shapers, risk management and liability, every single thing that you encounter has gone through a risk management filter, and that's the way it is.
And there are about a million things that should come way before the liability of a pump track that we need to fix in our community. I mean, let's talk crosswalks, sidewalks.
Well,
I mean, give me a break.
As we're discovering, and this is one of the reasons I hate liability and risk management, as we're discovering, and it's too complicated to get in right now, liability is actually not really an issue here for a variety of reasons. Legal reasons, it's not an issue. But what is being shown is that liability is always thrown up as some chaff to, like, slow things down or be a reason why it can't be done. Or it is a fallback excuse that is often given by those, by the establishment, as to why things can't change or be done.
Yep.
And I'm not buying it. All right. Email, this one's from listener Ice Road Hucker regarding the pump track. It's a slippery slope. Since the Rogue pump track was built over the holiday break, I've seen some posts on Nextdoor about people riding off-road motorcycles in Quarry Park. This is what happens when people take things into their own hands. Rules are in place for a reason, and it's not incumbent or desirable for individual citizens to decide which laws and rules apply to them and which they will choose to ignore. That is literally the definition of anarchy.
Oh.
Okay.
Brother.
All right. I mean, okay. Excuse me. That got in my craw there. Okay, it's true that this track was built without permits or permission, but you know what else seems true? It also seems that it's reflecting the will of the people. And if the government will not acknowledge the will of the people, what are the people to do? Well, they're going to do something, and that's what they did. And now the government has been forced.
How long do they have to wait for a freaking pump track?
Right.
I mean, they have to build their own skate ramp.
Yep.
It's ludicrous.
Right. If the government is not going to participate, people are, especially people out here on the coastside, which have a kind of a independent, almost pioneer mentality, you're not going to do it. People are going to do it. They have the skills. They have the tools. They have the motivation. And so so that's one thing that came out of this, is the people did it, and they made the government take notice, and now we're moving forward.
I don't think people mind having safety measures in place. But when it takes 5 to 10 years to get something like this done, that's insane.
Yep.
And you're not protecting the kids. Actually, you're encouraging them to do these kinds of things and just showing that we can't get any of this stuff done.
Right.
It takes 5 to 10 years to do this? Come on.
Well, then the community...
We're just spinning our wheels.
...takes action. As I was asking Michelle, I for the first time ever, I feel strongly that it is going to be a reality that within a year there's going to be an official sanctioned... on the map, pump track in El Granada.
I hope you're right.
That's amazing. But
so do you think the citizens' action is what actually tilted it over to take action?
There's no doubt. Okay. There's no doubt.
So just because I've been going to Boston a lot lately, that's the spirit of the Tea Party, right?
Exactly.
There. That's that.
Well, hold on. Not the tea baggers.
Talking the Boston Tea Party. Yes,
Boston Tea Party.
Right. I noticed even on the fighting spirit is alive and well there. The independent American Revolution is still going on.
And it happened in El Granada over the Christmas break. Okay. I want to get right into our Shooting the Breeze live interview segment, but because I can't wait to talk to these two ladies again, but of Lele Keaton for the first time, but here's the thing. I got to do a quick rant against the Chamber of Commerce. They're having their annual awards dinner Thursday, the 23rd.
Because it is award season.
It is, exactly.
The SAG Awards are this Sunday, just a quick plug. So, one of my favorite nights of the year. I've got my blocks of cheese and wine ready. Go ahead.
Blocks of cheese, okay.
Is there anything else?
Yeah.
Packers are playing this weekend.
Chamber of Commerce Awards Dinner.
Okay, go ahead.
23rd, 5:30, 8:30, IDES Hall, $100 a person. They give away awards to businesses in the community for various things. I had some thoughts on that. I won't go into that. But here's the rant. This is an awards dinner, so who should be emceeing this awards dinner? That's right.
Livy
Streetwise. So I was thinking, well, maybe we should contact them. So I look it up because nothing adds pomp and circumstance to an awards event like Livy freaking Streetwise.
I don't know. Well, after a couple of bottles of champagne, maybe. But
only did the Chamber of Commerce snub Livy.
Whoa.
They chose Marcus D, a competing radio talk show host from the radio show The Morning Star Show on Star 103 out of San Francisco.
Whoa.
They picked another radio show host.
I can't compete with that,
now,
gentlemen.
Marcus does live in Half Moon Bay, and
he's a professional.
He has emceed the Pumpkin Festival before. This is nothing against Marcus. He's an excellent talk show host and professional. But, hey... we're here doing this show every Friday since 2017, talking all about the coastside every show for a minute, an hour and 5 minutes every show, Where's the love?
Well, I think it's clear that we need to talk more about entertainment.
You know what?
You know, I mean, I have been trying to plug these awards for a long time, but Ruben, you've really put the kibosh on it, I have to say.
All right. Well, you know what?
All right. On to the next subject.
We have our esteemed guests here, Jenny Urban and Lily Keaton of Say Yes to the Dress. It's an amazing program. This is the second time that we've had Say Yes to the Dress on the program. In fact, it was almost exactly a year ago today. It was January 11th, 2019, I believe. Was that your inaugural? Good morning.
Good morning.
Was that your inaugural event last year?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Wow. We were on the ground floor.
It was a huge success, I will say, as an onlooker and volunteer. You know, it was a great success.
Okay. So, what do you call this? A program? An event? Just in general, what noun would you apply to your enterprise here? Wow. Question number one.
And you've already stumped them.
Gosh, I'm good.
How about, a loving event?
A loving event.
A joyful event.
Yeah.
Okay, joyful event. And let's put caps on that and make it a proper noun. Joyful event.
True.
Okay. So, Jenny and Lily, why don't you give us a high-level, like, mission statement overview of this joyful event for those that may not be familiar with it?
So, through December and January, February, we collect dresses. We started out just collecting dresses locally here in Half Moon Bay area. And this year, actually, we've reached out. We have dresses coming from Berkeley, San Francisco, San Mateo, so around the Bay Area. And we have two giveaway events, one in January, one in February. The first one kind of for the girls who like to shop early, and the second one for girls who like to shop right before prom. And we open the doors at Fit Studio. They're nice enough to lend us their location there. And we give away prom dresses for any girl who walks in. So we've had, you know, last year we had a girl from Livermore, a couple girls from Pescadero area, and we just give dresses away for free so that everyone who wants to go to prom can go.
Now, are these just for prom or prom and formals? Could a college person going to a college formal, get in on this program?
Absolutely.
This is Lily. That was Jenny. This is Lily. Hi, Lily.
Hi there. Absolutely. We start by saying for prom, but if anybody comes in at that time and needs or wants a dress for something that they're attending, we're definitely not going to tell them, ask them if they're attending the prom. They can have it for the winter formal. That first event we did last year, the winter formal, happened to be that evening, and we had some girls come in and get dresses for that.
Wow.
They were coming in for prom dresses, and they were like, hey, I need a winter formal dress, too. So sometimes they grab two dresses in that occasion. Absolutely.
Okay. So this is a totally cost-free for the girls opportunity for them to get formal wear for any formal event that they're looking for, totally cost-free. This is just the dress or accessories and makeup as well, hair, what? Are there other things that you offer?
Dresses and shoes, jewelry, bags. The accessories weren't as much of a hit to them. So we're collecting them, and we'll have things out there. But a lot of that wasn't as the dresses was the draw.
Do you have a stylist on site that would like put the whole ensemble together for them, or the girls like to do that themselves?
Well, no, we have about 10 volunteers there, and we just style them, help them. You know, they immediately go right to the dresses. They know right what they're looking for, and they oftentimes will pass over, no, I don't like the color, and then as they're starting to try dresses on, the stylist will go and grab a few other things. Hey, try this one. And they're oftentimes quite surprised what they try on and love. And then from there, we'll take them over to where the shoes are and the jewelry and all of that, and off they go.
So as someone who, I think for the first 45 years of my life, got my suits out of thrift shops, as most people would not be surprised to hear, you know, you go to the thrift, there's a good suit there, but there's something wrong with it that's it's just not quite right. What's the overall quality of the donated item? Are we talking like thrift shop level, or is this, you know,
are these really, you could be going into an actual retail store?
You could be going into an actual retail store. We actually have quite a number of brand new dresses. There's a lot of dresses.
Never worn?
Never worn.
Wow.
Or very expensive that were gently used. They're very high quality dresses. It's incredible.
And that's so the ask, right? I mean, in looking at your promotional pieces, it is for gently used or new. And
yeah,
I remember last year,
recently,
tags were still on a number of them.
Yeah, so we had a local bride-to-be, and she, can I say the store? Can I do a plug?
Sure. Yeah.
She's buying
we're
her
local. Let's do it. Yeah.
She's buying her dress actually from the wedding shop in Berkeley. And she was kind enough to ask them about a rack of dresses that were marked down. And the wedding shop gave us 64 brand new short dresses to add to our inventory.
Oh, my God.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's incredible. We have gorgeous dresses that Lily and I would love to try on.
I mean, yeah. This is really an important part of it because in addition to being just an amazing volunteer event that is free, these brand new dresses, girls come in, they get the dresses. There's nothing costs you. So that's an amazing thing in and of itself. But oftentimes when it's a situation like that, you know, there's a phrase that goes along with it, like, well, beggars can't be choosers, or you get what be appreciative, you get what you get. But we're talking about a really sentimental, emotionally important event in a person's life, their prom, you know, not just for the girls too, but their dates as well. And so there's a lot tied into that. And if you're going to a place where you're kind of having to settle for something that, you know, that it's not exciting to you, that really impacts your feeling about the event. And so to be able to go to this situation, say yes to the dress, and have brand new, you know, designer level dresses, I am really speechless on this, of the generosity and the amazing opportunity that this is for our local team.
And the whole day, you know, again, coming from someone who volunteered on one of the days, is filled with enthusiasm and joy. I mean, the girls coming in are just so happy. And then a bunch of the moms come in, too, with their girls. And it's a whole event. I mean, you really made it special, you guys.
Thank you. You know, we encourage the girls to keep trying on a dress until their face lights up.
Yeah.
And that's really the best part of being there with them, is to see them look in the mirror and love the way they look in a dress.
And actually, I never picked out a dress for myself, but I have had to do the suit thing or the tux thing. And yeah, find the one that lights up, because I know, having limited budget in high school, you never had that opportunity. You know, kind of like you go to the tux place and the guy's like, here's our range of tuxes. And, you know, I'd be like, well, show me the $50 tuxes, please. You know, and it's very disappointing. You know, you get the plastic shoes and the polyester pants, and it doesn't feel good. And so to have the situation where find the one that you want, and it doesn't matter, like, what the cost is, because there's no cost. I mean, it's just, I'm blown away.
And they're beautiful
away.
Dresses.
Yeah.
I mean, they're beautiful dresses.
Okay, well, let me circle back on that, because these are donated items. Are there any risque dresses or fashion disasters that you've had to kind of look at and go, you know, we're not going to put this out on the floor?
There's a little laughing going on.
We certainly have. The risque dresses, we were like, oh, there's going to be someone who really is going to love this dress. And so, you know what? We put it out there to my surprise, the risque ones, they were not so interested to try them on. It surprised me. It's a different generational thing. I know that when I was in high school, everybody wanted that risque dress. But we left them out there. You know, sometimes we just thought, you know, there could be the person that really does want that pretty and pink vintage-y, you know, dress. And then not. So we didn't make that call right out the gate. But if it was stained or had tears or those kinds of things, we definitely pulled those things out.
And are these, so the dresses that you keep, are they specifically formal wear dresses, you know, a mixture of formal and bridesmaids, or just regular, I mean, I don't really know, dress like a sundress or just regular dress?
Mostly formal.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Mostly formal. There's some bridesmaid dresses which can also double as formal, but...
Oh, I thought you were going to say double as a fashion disaster, but...
Well, yeah, probably that too, but the bridesmaid dresses tend to be... a lot of them tended to be shorter.
Yeah.
The girls love long dresses.
Huh.
But they tend to wear shorter dresses for the winter formal. So that's where, you know, why we do hold on to all the short dresses, too, because they, once in a while, we might get that one person who's like, I'm going to be the one that's going to show up in the only short dress.
Okay, so, you know, you want the girls to find the dress that lights up their face, and you're serving their interest, but have you had someone come up with a dress, and they try it on, and you're just thinking, No. The color's not right. The proportions, something's not. No, you really don't. And they're insistent that they want it. And you had, you know, what do you do in that situation?
You let them have it. It's all about whatever they want. That, I mean, really, whatever they want. If they want a green dress and bright red shoes and a pink hat, go for it. That's what they want.
I love it.
It was lovely to watch and experience all of the volunteers at our first two events, because a lot of times the girls would say, what do you think? And every time I would hear someone say, what do you think? What do you think? Do you love it? Then take that dress.
Nice.
Yeah.
So the only things that came into play that could have been potential problems, they ended up not being in the end, but is that sometimes you get someone who's a size 2 and the dress that they want is a size 8 and they want it altered down to a 2 and then you got to talk them down off that tree because
it's too much work.
It's not,
it would change the shape of the dress and everything.
It won't alter down 3 sizes.
Yeah.
So we did have
my name is Rose Sullivan and I'm a member of BNI Maverick.
Hold on.
Okay, so
don't know why that happened.
Here's the thing. We have lots of advertisers that want to get in on this valuable time. But you know what? Today, I'm sorry. Today, we have our special live interview guests, and we're sticking with them. I'm sorry. We will run extra commercials next week.
I will
week.
Tell you that the interns did just fix the commercials, though.
Oh.
So that might have been the issue. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry. Well, you know what? I think we're still going to go with no commercials today.
Oh.
And we'll
okay.
run.
Okay.
Well, all right. You know what? Let's go talk for a couple more minutes, and then we'll see if we can sneak in these.
Can I ask a question about what size ranges you've gotten so far?
I think we have size 2, maybe 1-0, and then a size 2 all the way up to 20, maybe 24.
Okay, great.
We have a really large range of sizes.
Yep. That's terrific. That's great.
Have you run into a situation, because like with shoe sizes, At the end of the range on each side, there's usually not that much to choose from. Do you feel like you have enough selection through that entire range of sizes?
I do. Yeah, we have a lot of selection in every size right now. We've been very fortunate both years.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure I know the answer to this because I think you've already alluded to it, but it's just, you know, that the positive energy of the room sounds amazing. But I'm wondering, like, for the girls, is there excitement, or at first is there a little bit of sheepishness, like I need this and that's why I'm here, or is it just like all excitement, like let's go, you know, let's see what there is?
It's complete excitement. So last year, our first giveaway in January, we were shocked. We had a line out the door of girls waiting to get in. So it's, everyone wants to get there and see what the inventory looks like, and we have it set up just like a store with, you know, the sizes are marked and they can tell by the racks and they're in order by size and color, and they're rushing to look at all the dresses. It's quite incredible.
This is incredible. Okay, we're gonna take that commercial break now.
Okay.
But I feel like we've barely even scratched the surface here. Like I need this for my soul. You know, this great.
Well, you're softening, Ruben. I'm really impressed.
But this is what the world needs to be. So okay, so we're gonna take Jenny, Lily, can you guys stick around after the break? Because I think we need to continue this conversation. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, so let's take a 3-minute break for our advertisers, which we really appreciate. And then we'll come back and we'll continue our Shooting the Breeze live interview segment with Jenny Urban and Lily Keaton of Say Yes to the Dress. Don't go away. In fact, pick up your phone if you want to talk to him. All right, 560-9851, Coastal Windage. We'll be right back.
My name is Rose Sullivan, and I'm a member of BNI Mavericks. Our business networking group provides an environment that enables you to surround yourself with people who want to help you grow your business with referrals. I would like to personally invite you to one of our weekly breakfast meetings. We meet every Thursday morning at 8 at the Yellow House, which is between BK Motors and Granola's Coffee House. This is Rose Sullivan, and I would love to meet you and help you get new referrals for your business.
Why is it that when it comes to maintaining cars, women are led to believe it's a man's world? Well, I know the most important thing about cars, and that's where to take mine when it needs expert attention. Phil's Tire and Auto in Half Moon Bay. Their address is 422 Parissima Street. Oh, and ladies, don't worry about those mechanics that talk down to you. Jason and his team are more than happy to take the time to explain what the problem is and what they recommend to fix it. From tires to wiper blades to things that go bump under the hood, call Phil's Tire and Auto. Their number is 726-5153. That number again, 726-5153.
Phil's Tire Pros has you covered with the name brand tires you trust at the lowest prices guaranteed. Like Michelin, the number one choice of premium car manufacturers because of their precise and perfect feel. Phil's Tire Pros. Installing peace of mind.
Hi, this is Bob with BK Motors, and I have a problem. I need inventory. We've been so busy selling cars, I've almost run out of cars to sell. If you're looking to sell your car and you're scared of having unwanted people come to your home, look no further. We can help you sell your car. We specialize in selling cars on consignment at BK Motors. We go out on all test drives. We take care of all the DMV paperwork for you. And we also arrange for financing for all the new buyers. Give us a call at BK Motors at 726-8220 or go online to bkmotors.com to see all of our inventory. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 7 a.m. till 12 noon. Again, our number is 726-8220. Come on down. We look forward to seeing you.
Have a spare room? Hip Housing is a trusted local nonprofit that has provided housing and home sharing services in San Mateo County since 1972. Our home sharing program helps match home providers, someone who owns or rents a place and who has extra space available in their place of residence, with someone who is looking for housing. Hip Housing offers a safer approach to finding renters than similar services, since we provide a wealth of resources, such as personal home sharing coordinators, interviewing and screening, home visits, and follow-up support. We also offer a one-time $250 incentive to home providers 90 days after a housemate moves in. Using HIP services is completely free. There is no income requirement. Our program is open to individuals who live, work, or go to school in San Mateo County. Visit HIPHousing.org to learn more. That's HIPHousing.org. Or call 650-348-6660 to get started.
Coastal Windage, Reuben Truthmaker here with Libby Streetwise, Mr. Mojo Filters, and Jenny Urban and Lily Keaton. Say yes to a prom dress. Okay, I've been saying the name of this program wrong the entire time.
Sorry.
It's Say Yes to a Prom Dress, but as we were discussing with them earlier in the show, it's not just for prom. That's kind of, you know, everybody knows about prom, but any girl that's looking for a formal wear for an event can come to your what do we call it, joyful event, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, let's I want to ask you some about last year and some numbers, but first let's get the important information. So when are the giveaway events where you're going to have the girls actually come in and look at dresses and get fitted and whatnot? When are those events?
The first one is Saturday, January 25th from 1 to 5 p.m. at Fit Studios. And the second giveaway event is February 29th. That's also a Saturday from 1 to 5 at Fit Studios.
So Fit Studio is in Shoreline Station. That's at 225 South Cabrillo Highway here in town, Suite 104B. You'll see it. So that's January 25th, February 29th. Do you have a website people could go to?
We don't, no. We're on Facebook and Nextdoor, and we have posters all over town, but we don't have a website.
Okay, Say Yes to a Prom Dress. Go look that up on Facebook if you're interested. Saturday, January 25th, Saturday, February 29th, 1 to 5. Where, if people want to donate, how do they donate materials?
So we have drop-off spots in Half Moon. There's one in Half Moon Bay. They could leave things at Fit Studio. I don't know that we put that on the poster, but since it's there at that specific location, they could leave them.
Where is your location in Half Moon Bay?
It's at my house, Jenny's house, 149 Miramontes Avenue.
149 Miramontes Avenue. What would you like them to do? Just leave it at the front door?
Or? Yeah, both Lily and I have coat racks at our front door, and people can just leave their donation right on the coat rack.
Professional. Okay, so the two drop-off locations, 149 Miramontes Avenue in Half Moon Bay and 146 Vallejo Street in El Granada. Okay. Oh, also, HMB Pilates, 2385 Carlos Street in Moss Beach. Any of those three locations. And if you're desperate, you could probably go to Fit Studio and drop something off there, and they'll hold it for you. Okay, so let's get back to the grilling. I mean the discussion, not the grilling. The discussion, grilling. Now I'm getting hungry. Okay. Let's talk about last year's event. Last year was the inaugural event. This will be the second time. Do you have any data, numbers to show us? A little list. How many dresses would you say were available last year to the girls? Ballpark.
Probably 9 to 10 clothing racks, like full-length clothing racks.
Okay, you're talking to a dude, so what does that mean? What are we talking, like? How many dresses per rack?
Yeah, probably like 700-800 dresses.
No, 800 dresses? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this is what we need. 800 dresses. How many girls would you say came? Just didn't even get a dress? Dress, got a dress, didn't get a dress. How many girls showed up?
All right, probably around 200, something like that. We didn't keep track, but...
And how many dresses did you give away?
We gave away 120 dresses.
Wow. And, okay, so that is amazing. That's 120 girls that got exactly the dress they wanted.
Or a couple of them, actually. You know, I think a number of them walked away with two dresses.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So, like, 120 prom dresses is what we would say walked out the door, but we also, we're circling back and talking about the shorter dresses that we had. There were also dresses that left that were for winter formal, and that, who knows? We were really kind of looking more, tracking more how many of the specifically for the prom dresses went out the door. This year we're going to track that a little closer so we get a better sense of exactly how many.
I'm sure you have to do it for various, you know, accounting and logistical and planning reasons, but I'd want to get those numbers out there because, again...
Well, you're a numbers guy.
Well...
You're a total numbers guy. These are just do-gooders here that are trying to, like, help the prom-goers.
They provide context. And,
goodness.
But the numbers here, in this case, were important to me because I... When it comes to special events, and this is why I always promote Libby as an MC... I cannot stand a special event that gets promoted and then you go there and it's, you know, like a couple of sprigs of parsley and some, you know, cut up carrots and, you know, wheat bagels and that's your special event. And so an event like this could go wrong if there's 20 dresses mm-hmm. there. You know, but there's 800 dresses. I mean, it's a
smorgasbord of dresses. They've
because
got it all.
You can go in there and you see the volume of dresses and you feel like, okay, there is something in here for me. I just need to find it as opposed to like, okay, well, let me find what I can live with. It's no, there's the thing that's in here for me is 800 dresses. Okay, so 800 dresses, 120 given away, you know, maybe a couple hundred girls. How many volunteers, staff, how many people do you need to make this thing run?
Well, Lily and I run it through the months that we're collecting dresses and giving away, and then we add about 8 volunteers for each giveaway event.
For on the day.
Right. And that's part of the reason we don't necessarily have the numbers for our first year is because we were shocked by the number of girls we had, delightfully surprised, and we're moving as fast as we could through that whole period of 4 hours of giving them away.
Wow. And Libby, you said you were part of this last week?
One of the days, yeah. And you know what was so nice also? I think the whole way that Jenny and Lily put this on, it was clearly a special event from the moment that the girls walked in. I mean, they saw the volunteers standing there asking how they could help and, you know, just let the girls look at all the dresses and then would take, help them take the dresses to the dressing room, and they would be in the dressing room and the volunteers would say, well, can we grab you another size, or what's your favorite color and that kind of thing. Do you want sequins? Do you not? Do you like low cut or, you know, long, short? And so they felt like they had kind of like a stylist with them, you know, a volunteer helping right. them pull dresses, put things back, matching shoes, purses, jewelry, that sort of thing. So it was a special event from beginning to end. And I think that that just adds to the wonderfulness of the occasion, you know, and so I can't speak highly enough about it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that totally. What's been the follow-up like since this inaugural event? Did you get the dresses back? Do you ask for them back? Are the girls supposed to return them? Do they want to return them? Do they want to keep them? How many dresses did you get back, and did you ask for them back?
That's a good question.
Well, thank you. Okay, we're done here now.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
I've been waiting for that for a half an hour. No, okay.
So we really didn't ask for the dresses to come back. We really feel that, totally get that sometimes you're, you know, that's a special occasion. That was a special evening. You had a great time, and you're just very attached to that dress. And we want girls to feel that if that's how they felt about that dress, that it's their dress. It's yours. You didn't, it's, we gave it to you. It's all for you. We didn't mention anything about bringing dresses back, but we will happily take dresses back, you know, if they wore them. If they decided to actually not wear the dress that they did take, we certainly would love to have that dress back. And, you know, sometimes they might, it's kind of like if you go shopping, you might buy two and decide which of the ones you want right. and bring the other one back.
Right.
But this time we are limiting it to one dress goes out the door unless one is also for the formal.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so that we don't have that happen again. But again, if a girl is really attached to that dress, please just love it and have it and keep it as your own. But if you really don't have that attachment in that way and you enjoyed the dress and you want someone else to enjoy it, please give it back.
And
we'd love to have it back.
Lily and Jenny might not say this, but I'm going to say this, in that if you do bring a dress back, it would be super nice if you could have it dry cleaned before you give it to them. Because, you know, or dry cleaned before you give it to them, period. Like if you've worn it before and are donating it this time around, it would be really nice to dry clean it. And again, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I know that you're appreciative of everything that comes your way. And I also had tried to make a plug at two different dry cleaners. I don't know if you ended up working with any last year, but I was really hoping that they would throw their hat in the ring if you had gotten dresses that needed to be dry cleaned prior to the event or whatnot. But if you're going to be giving, please dry clean before. Everyone would like a nice, clean dress, even if it is gently used. Certainly if it's new and the tags are on, not necessary. But, you know.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
As will the girls that will be receiving the dress.
Yeah, we didn't have that as a requirement.
Because, right.
But it is nice when they arrive clean.
Sure.
We did get a few, you know, because you kind of take a chance. If you take the dress and then try to get it cleaned and the stain doesn't come out.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
No.
So we want to make sure. So, when the dresses do need to be cleaned, we really felt that if a dress needs to be cleaned, that we would have it cleaned, and we didn't want them to necessarily incur that cost.
Yeah.
And some people said, oh, no. This dress, thank you. I'll have it cleaned. Not a problem. And then sometimes it was just nice to be able to say, no, we'll have the dress cleaned and you can pick it up.
Yeah.
We didn't have that many that needed to be cleaned prior, but
thank you.
Yeah, it is nice to get that done.
Okay, I've got about 50 more questions, but we have about 3 more minutes. So, but the positive thing about that is, so we'll have you back next. Can we do this again next year? You know what?
I think that's the hope.
I think every year this will be our like anchor shooting the breeze live interview for the year. We're like every year in January we'll do an interview with Jenny and Lily about
pressure's on, Lily.
Okay, couple last things here. Do you know if any of the people who have received donated dresses have been transgender?
I don't know.
I don't recall from last year. But you've been open to everyone. Absolutely. Everyone who wants to come.
Absolutely.
Can come.
In fact, we did have a few people that donated suits. And we said, well, we'll just take the suit. Someone might want to wear a pantsuit.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Totally.
So but suits as well. So we talked about that. We are happy to take anything that seems that could fit into the formal world. It is a say yes to a dress, but we'll take that as well. And if it goes, it goes. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Everyone welcome.
Great. Yeah. Okay, so last thing here. Here's a great, I'm going to suggest a great promotional event to highlight this joyful event. And that is that maybe like before the prom or just after, probably before, because after I think that it's the end of the year and people go their different ways. That you have a Say Yes to the Dress fashion show with a red carpet and a runway hosted by Libby Straight Line.
What are you doing?
Okay, picture
this. Oh, my goodness.
Picture this. At the IDS Hall or someplace, you have a runway, like an elevated runway with lights, and there's seats where people can sit, and the girls can come down and walk down the runway with their dress and the accessories they have. They could get a limo and show up. There could be, ballyhooing lights out front.
Oh,
Libby could
my
be there in the red
goodness.
Carpet. It would be very cool to see, because here's the disconnect for me. Like, I'm never going to see these girls in their dresses smiling and enjoying, like really reveling in this moment. This would be an opportunity. You could have connections, limos and after parties at local businesses. It could be just like a Hollywood kind of fashion show event. And there could possibly be a fundraising aspect in it as well, where you could sell, tickets to the show and help raise money for Say Yes to a Prom Dress, because you guys are doing this all out of pocket yourselves, right?
We are doing it all
exactly.
out of pocket.
So I just think that would be a super fun way to tie it all together, give the girls a chance to really enjoy their moment in the spotlight. And I know that I would love to see like kind of the end game of this, of like all of this work and all of this positive energy, and come together in a really exciting event that the whole community could participate in and possibly donate money to the cause.
Because they don't have enough going on.
Well, you know what? Last year I had said to Jenny, I said, oh, I feel like we have to just go drive down there and watch all these girls get up and go to the... And, of course, Jenny had a daughter that was attending the prom, so her daughter was like, absolutely, that is not happening. So it didn't. But this year, that isn't the case. We might do that. Because I know I felt the same way. I was like, I want to see the whole thing.
Well, so it's probably too late this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah.
Think about this fashion show. I think it would be really fun.
It would be very fun.
And
Libby, my goodness.
Needs to be the MC.
I'm feeling mega pressure here.
Okay. All right, let's get... So we've had some emails come in on the printer here. Let's grab these. Okay, let's see here. This is sent. Lily, so Jenny had to leave. I think there was a dress emergency. She got a call. There's a special dress she
needs
to go pick up.
Yes, she's sped out of here.
But Lily, why don't you want to stick around for the kind of end of the show shenanigans?
Sure.
Okay, great. All right. Here we got an email from listener, Betsy Ross Stitch says about Say Yes to the Dress. This is such a wonderful thing to do for the young ladies and their dates here on the coast. I am no Gloria Vanderbilt, but I do a little sewing and alteration work. Is there any opportunity for somebody like me to help out with this event? Bless you both. Is there any opportunity for her to help out? Betsy Ross Stitch?
Absolutely.
How would she do that?
So you could contact me directly, and we can absolutely. We do have someone that did come to one of the events that is does alterations, and she will also be at the second event, but she can't make it to the first event. So that's quite possibly, if you can make it to the first event, we'd love to have that. It's very generous. Thank you.
Okay. And, wow, a Gloria Vanderbilt reference. I think that's a first for our show. All right. Okay. Where would they get your contact information?
So on the poster, we have contact information there.
Great. Okay.
And they're all over the coast. I can tell you all the post offices have one, if that helps to find one. But a lot of the storefronts on Main Street and all over the coast.
And Strawflower, I noticed your signs in a number of storefronts and Strawflower.
Look for the big pink dress on the poster.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's an email from listener, the voice of reason. I don't know if that really applies to the show. this may be out of character for the show. The voice of reason regarding the Chamber of Commerce snub. Oh, I'm interested. I don't want to be mean, but maybe one of the reasons that the Chamber of Commerce chose Marcus D as their MC is that some people have actually heard of him, just saying.
I totally get that. That's a little bit of an ouch, but I get it.
Okay, but as I tried to say earlier, and playing on that new, there's like some Marvel movie out, Harlequin. Nobody MCs a gig like Libby frickin' Streetwise. I'm telling you. Okay?
You are killing me with this. Oh my goodness.
This has to happen. Okay. Oh, all right, let's roll to the last few minutes of the show. Why digital tickets? Okay, digital tickets. You remember in the old days, like, say, when I was going to the prom, there'd be a concert at the sports arena or something, and you'd go down to the 7-Eleven or wherever, and you'd get a couple of tickets and print out from the thing, and you'd have the two tickets in your hand. Maybe they'd go in a little envelope, and that was just, like, that was just gold. It's two tickets to the show, even holding, you know, two tickets. Those don't exist anymore.
No.
They don't exist. It's now, like, some stupid app on your cell phone. On some reader that you show, and then at the end of the day, when the concert's over, what have you got?
You've got
how many people? Oh, let me show you my digital collect, my digital scrapbook here. Look, here's the show. Here's the Rolling Stone show, and I mean, come on. So, why is this happening? Okay, well, one is almost every place now is going to digital tickets. Almost every single, there's hardly a place where
going green.
Going green. Stop.
That's their argument. I'm telling you.
That is the biggest load of BS. It's not going green. It's a financial situation.
I don't disagree, but they call it going. I mean, it's because they're going green.
All right, I'm getting all riled up here. Let me roll back a minute.
The NFL, we only have a minute. We only have a minute, so you can't get too riled up.
All right. The NFL announced last week that it's doubling its use of mobile entries for this year's Super Bowl in an effort to move towards 100% mobile entry for next year's game, which means there'll be no more physical tickets for the Super Bowl. And in the iconic and collectible ticket stubs genre, Super Bowl tickets are the top thing you can look for. They're very collectible and colorful, and now they're going away. Most NBA and NFL teams have gone digital by now. And so now if you're going to event, you have to have a smartphone. Not just a phone, you have to have a smartphone. And the thing that annoys me, one of many things, often you'll go to an event like a basketball game, and they'll scan your phone, and then the ticket person has a little device that prints out a little paper thing, because you need to know where your seat is. And if you have kids with you and they don't have a cell phone and they need to go to the bathroom, they need to know where their seat is. So you will often be handed a paper, piece of paper that has your seat number on it. So no with the green stuff. This is all about, this is a cost-saving measure for the promoters of events. And now it is a revenue producer, because what the Super Bowl is doing is they are now going to be using the electronic tickets to track people's habits and compile personal information, and we know what happens with that. The NFL wants to do this because they want to know exactly who is sitting in every seat at every game, so that they can compile financial, location, and search data for those persons, and probably in real time hit them with immediate targeted push ads, but even more sinister, to control the behavior of their ticket holders. The Denver Broncos already this year, using electronic tickets and search information, banned several people who had purchased season tickets had purchased, spent the money because they were reselling their tickets too much for the Broncos' liking. So they banned these people that had already purchased the season tickets because of what they were doing with the tickets that they owned. And the way that they followed that is because they're electronic and they can track every single thing they were doing. So why is this being allowed to happen? The public is slurping it down right now like they do all other tech advancements. And what happens when the grid is down? How am I going to get into my event when there's a PSPS going on, right? All right. Here's closing thoughts.
Okay.
Closing.
Hold on. Lily also has one other thing to say.
Oh, Lily, yes.
Sorry.
Wait, there's somebody else in the room? What?
Yeah. Sorry, not to... No, I just... you had asked me about the cost, that it's all out of pocket for Jenny and myself. It is out of pocket, but I wanted to also just say thank you to San Mateo Credit Union because they did reach out to us and they gave us $300 to use towards our event. So thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Mateo County Credit Union.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Real quick. So the thing about the electronic tickets and you're being surveilled is people do not realize that you are now part of the matrix, that everybody's life is just now an AI algorithm. Everything you do is tracked, compiled, analyzed, AI'd, and reapplied to you. Rinse and repeat over and over. You have become the algorithm. Algorithms are essentially, AI is essentially very self-contained. It's hard to get new stuff in there. When you start using these algorithms, you're just in a closed system. Once you get inserted in that as a person, you become the algorithm. Okay, futurist prediction here. Haven't done a futurist prediction in a while. Events. People are going to realize that paper tickets are kind of cool and that they're missing these things, and events will start offering commemorative tickets or making tickets available for some special events. And it will be for the elites, for the high-priced ticket things, because whether the event promoters say it or not, people do like physical tickets, and you can still go now on the courtside season tickets. You see those season ticket holders. They love displaying their oversized, colorful season tickets in their big lanyards that says, I'm a rich, privileged person that gets to sit down in the front row. Look at my big badge ticket. It's hard to do that when you can't walk around with your cell phone going, look at my big badge ticket, how important and special I am. So there will continue to be physical tickets, but only for the rich and elite and privileged. Okay, and Coastal Windage. Right, on that note, it's been a great show. Thank you again to Jenny Urban and Lily Keaton of Say Yes to a Prom Dress. It's going to be a great event. January 25th is the first event coming up at Fit Studio, 1 to 5 p.m., and February 29th. Go check it out. If you're a girl going to a formal event, go check it out. Thank you, Lily. Okay. And thank you, Mojo. And thank you, Libby.
Sure.
And we will be back.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Same time, same place. Have a great week. Bye.